From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come past the 16th. It's Girvin. Girvin, Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Girvin has won the TwinSpire.com Louisiana Derby.
With the lead, it's Practical Joke, but Guinevere over the top is on to the front now. Three rules, battles on Gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Guinevere and Javier Castellano moving clear. Guinevere for local trainer Antonio Sano romps in the Fountain of Youth.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Conquest Mo Money. Here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire.
Irish War cries in front as they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runners not going with them. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to a post-derby edition of the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, because it is a post-derby edition, that means this week only it is a pre-Preakness edition of the program. And looking forward to heading to Baltimore next weekend to get you set for the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, our producer Lee Della Pina, all together once again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and going to look back on the Derby this week, going to look ahead to the Preakness Stakes, and in case you're wondering about that Preakness countdown, well, just 6 days, 23 hours, 58 minutes, and 3 seconds away from the 142nd Preakness, which JT, by the way, that means that we are just 357 days, 10 hours, 47 minutes, and 54 seconds away from the 2018 Run for the Roses.
Wish it was like 400 days away.
Well, not far off, 357. Edging ever
way,
closer.
Way too close.
Edging ever
closer. Trying to put it out of my mind.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how you pulled up, but maybe I should ask you if you dried out yet.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, Always Dreaming was fantastic. He ran super that day, but all in all, it was kind of a rough Derby week, and glad to see it go, and looking forward to the Preakness.
Yeah, well, the best part about Preakness week is that when you look at the forecast for next weekend in Baltimore, you see Friday, the Black Eyed Susan day, 86 degrees and sunny, and on Saturday right now, 78 degrees, sunny, no rain in the forecast. That is a welcome change to what we experienced last week at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a welcome change from last year's Preakness, too. That was a total disaster.
Oh, yeah, just just terrible rain and nasty. And
yeah, like the lady that backed into the fan. Disaster.
Wow.
Where's Howie? I hope Howie's listening.
By the way, we need to say some thank yous to everybody at Churchill Downs who took care of us last week, including first and foremost Darren Rogers, who's going to be our first guest on the program today, right around 8:15 Eastern. Darren was just tremendous. Of course, he's the director of communications, so that's what he does. He's responsible for taking care of all the media. Somehow, he's gotten it down to a science, and we can't thank him enough for everything that he did. All the folks with AT&T at Churchill Downs, who the techs who were on site to set us up with all of our lines and our internet connections, we want to thank them as well because they really did go above and beyond. And our entire team with Howie Denneroff, producer of Westwood One, Rob Simulcare from NBC Sports, it was really that helped to make it a really fun experience for us. And now we get past the chaos of the Kentucky Derby and we can focus on what might be the biggest party we have every year in thoroughbred racing up in Baltimore.
Yes, I was waxing poetic about it to some people from Bullet Bourbon on Thursday night. And a lot of them were from the Baltimore area, Washington, D.C., and surrounding areas there. Some of them had never been to the Preakness, but I talked a bunch of them into going. And then the ones that were going, they were so happy that I was a big fan of their hometown race. And, I love the Preakness. I've always said it's the best of the three Triple Crown races. And it certainly is a party. It's you go out in the morning, they've got breakfast set up for everybody that's there. It's really nice and a lot of camaraderie between the turf riders, the trainers, the jocks. Everybody's there having a good time. After the races, you go back to the same location, to the Preakness barn, and and they've got a bar set up, and the booze is flowing, and it's at zero cost, and everybody's having a great time, and photo ops, and discussing the big race, and it's just a really fun time if you're into horse racing.
As of right now, it looks as if we're going to have an 11-horse field. Now, that can change, of course, over the next few days, but 11 expected to go to the post right now, so a solid field. You have five returning from the Kentucky Derby, and those would be, of course, the Derby winner, Always Dreaming, who we're going to talk about more here in just a minute. Classic Empire, who was the morning line favorite, as we know, drifted up, went off, what, third or fourth choice, I guess. Gunavera, Hence will be back, and Looking at Lee. Both of those two, Hence and Looking at Lee, trained by Steve Asmussen, and that Hall of Fame trainer is going to be with us right around 8:35 Eastern this morning to talk about those horses and look back on that runner-up performance by Looking at Lee. How well did this horse run, JT? Tremendous.
He ran a good race, and the dreaded one hole that everybody worries about. He got a really nice trip.
Still hasn't won since Ferdinand, by the way.
Yeah, well, but he did come second. I still say post position doesn't matter. I had a long conversation with my friend Carlo Campanella from Las Vegas Experts yesterday, and he's a guy that really works hard on the Derby. He loved Always Dreaming. And he studies film, and just like a football coach. But, he wasn't really surprised by the run of Looking at Lee. But he does not think Looking at Lee will have as good a run in the Preakness because it's a shorter field, and the pace figures to be a lot slower. So, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good race. I'm actually a little bit surprised that they had so many horses coming back from the Derby, because they all pretty much got their booties kicked.
Well, and Classic Empire had just an atrocious trip, right? Julian Leperoux, you caught up with Mark Cassie on our broadcast shortly after the race, and he was very distraught, very emotional, as you would expect, because they thought they had a tremendous shot to win with the juvenile champ. And as Julian Leperoux told us earlier in the week on our Derby Countdown show, the break is critical. Doesn't matter what post you have, you have to break well, and that just didn't happen for them. He got bounced around at the start, found himself further back than he wanted to be, and never got into position.
Yeah, and I'm not making any excuses for him because he's kind of a small horse, and that's a disadvantage, I think, when you have trouble leaving the gate. The other horses just seem to swallow you up, so that's a factor as well. He'll get a better trip, obviously, in the Preakness, at least the way it shakes out. For some reason, Brisnet is guarding these past performances like they're golden. Usually there's a pre-Preakness set of PPs out like they do. For the Derby, they do it like weeks in advance.
Right, sure.
Can't get a set of PPs to save my life.
Well, you'll have six newcomers that we'll have to brush up on and get ready for, right?
I know the horses.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I know who they are. But, right. But you'd like to see the numbers. You'd like to see the running lines. So come on, Brisnet. Do us a favor.
I'm going to tell you who else ran a monster race in the Kentucky Derby, and this is Captain Obvious, but third-place finisher, Battle of Midway, for Jerry Hollendorfer, Flavion Pratt in his Derby debut. Ends up, like I say, finishing third, and I thought he just ran lights out in that spot. You have to be thrilled with the way he performed.
Yeah, that was a tremendous race, and, it was a great story that we heard from Flavion's agent, Derek Lawson, earlier in the week, how last year he was at the Derby in his suit watching the Derby, and he turns to his agent and says, I got to ride in this race next year.
Yep.
And Derek worked really hard and got him a good mount and a nice result. So it was a good story all the way around.
Okay, so the last horse not to start in the Derby and then win the Preakness was Rachel Alexandra in 2009. And of course we know she won the Kentucky Oaks and that monster performance the day before the Kentucky Derby. When you look at this year's Preakness field, you see those six new shooters, you see the five returning horses from the Kentucky Derby. Most likely to deny Always Dreaming a chance at a Triple Crown, who would you say?
Oh, Royal Mo.
No kidding, really? The way I would have gone. Wow.
I love Royal Mo in this race.
Really?
I think Always Dreaming is probably going to win, but if there's a horse that has a chance to beat him, it's Royal Mo. First of all, Royal Mo was entered in the Derby.
Okay.
He didn't get in, but he was on the Derby schedule. So I'm going to give him like half a point for that.
Okay.
Because they wanted to run him in the Derby. They just couldn't.
Yeah.
He's got Gary Stevens. He's very good.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
He's going to be okay.
He's all right.
He's going to be okay.
He's won the Preakness and everything. He's in the Hall of Fame. So he's trained by John Sheriffs, who you know will have him fit as a fiddle.
Right.
John Sheriffs, one of the great trainers in the United States. And he has great tactical speed. And he could either be on the lead or he could track Always Dreaming. I mean, I see Always Dreaming going to the front and improving his position. But Gary can sit there with a nice horse on a relatively easy pace. They're not going 22 in the Preakness, I don't think, unless some crazy guy gets, you know, stung by a bee or something. Anyway, I think he's going to get a great trip. I think he's a very live horse, and he's going to be like 20-1. So
how about Classic Empire? Can he rebound and turn the tables?
He could.
Yeah.
He could. He's going to have to do a little bit more though. It's not going to be an easy run for him because of the pace factor. I think he's going to have to be used a little bit more. I don't know.
I can see him sitting closer.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he had all the trouble
right.
to start.
If he breaks good and he can sit in a good spot, he's a very good horse. But to me, Always Dreaming like ran off the page. I mean, he was really impressive. We had seen him in the Florida Derby, and we knew that he could run, but we didn't really know how good that field was, you know, in the Florida Derby. Gunavera wasn't at his best that day. He came back and didn't run much in the Derby. I'm a little surprised to see him back, actually. But, you know,
With a new jockey.
With a new jockey. Yeah, well, that's...
bad karma.
That was another...
bad karma. I say this all the time, right?
Well, it wasn't... It was Javier that took off. Javier took off of him.
Javier took off.
They didn't.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, Javier asked off because he wanted
still
to ride
bad
Chad.
Karma.
Well, it's not bad karma if you get Mike Smith.
No, you're right.
Mike Smith wins everything. But I think, it wasn't. He didn't get fired. Javier didn't get fired. He asked off to ride Cloud Computing,
right.
who I think has no chance. I would rather ride Gunavera. And, you know, Mike Smith, he pulls rabbits out of the hat all the time.
He does. Big money rider.
Yep.
Big money rider. By the way, your man, Gary Stevens, if he can win another Preakness Stakes with Royal Moat, would be win number 4 for him in this race. That would put him in 3rd place all time among jockeys in Preakness history, behind only Eddie Arcaro, who has won it 6 times, Pat Day, who has won it 5.
Wow.
Yeah, think about that. Lofty company. And Gary certainly deserves to be there as well. So we'll see if he can pull it off coming up next Saturday. All of our Preakness coverage begins on Wednesday with a special look at the Maryland thoroughbred industry at 4 o'clock Eastern. We'll bring you live coverage of the post position draw kicking off at 5 Eastern on Wednesday afternoon. Then on Friday, you'll hear the Black-Eyed Susan as part of our Express Bet radio program with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Christina McManigal. And then on Saturday, all of that Preakness Day coverage live with us here on the network. You can visit horseracingradio.net for a complete Preakness Week broadcast schedule. All right, real quick, poll question of the day. Go to @HRN on Twitter to weigh in. Will we see another Triple Crown winner this year? And that's kind of another way of asking if Always Dreaming is going to win the Preakness, but also will he win the Belmont? Will we see another Triple Crown winner this year? Yes or no? You have 2 choices, pretty simple. Will we see it? We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. Weigh in now @HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Again, coming up on the program, Darren Rogers, Director of Communications at Churchill. He'll join us after this next commercial break. Steve Asmussen will talk to the Hall of Fame trainer at 8:35 Eastern. Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds, one of the owners involved with Derby winner Always Dreaming. We're going to hear from him. You're also going to hear from legendary track announcer Tom Durkin, as he joined Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio earlier this week, told a great story about watching this year's Derby. Not always about Millionaire's Row in the mansion when you own a horse in the Kentucky Derby. You'll hear from Tom coming up later in the show as well. Elliot Walden, president and CEO and racing manager of Windstar Farm. They stand Bodie Meister, who is the sire of Always Dreaming. Elliot is going to be with us at 9:20 Eastern, and then the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at 9:40 Eastern time to talk to us about all the big races up at Belmont today and share his thoughts on the Kentucky Derby. So a jam-packed show, poll questions, Preakness talk, Derby talk, it's all ahead right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
spendthrift stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
After taking the Kentucky Derby, can Always Dreaming capture the middle jewel in the Triple Crown? Find out Saturday, May 20th. The Preakness Stakes, live from Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Down to the wire, Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Shut McGee.
And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second, but California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
And the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Those the call from Larry Colmus of the last five Kentucky Derbies. That's right, five consecutive winning favorites. You have to go all the way back to the 1800s to find the last time that happened in the Run for the Roses, but it has now happened here in 2017 with Always Dreaming becoming the fifth consecutive favorite to win the race, and what a performance we saw last Saturday. And who better to look back on the Kentucky Derby than our good friend Darren Rogers, who is the Senior Director of Communications at Churchill. Darren, good morning, my friend, and happy post-Derby.
Good morning, Mike. It's 1 week removed from that performance from Always Dreaming. And I tell you what, we wish him the best of luck a week from today in the Preakness Stakes.
Nice to see that the Derby has become a very formful race, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's probably due to that point system. I've been reading that.
That's
yeah,
the greatest.
It's made it easier for horses to avoid the trouble. Yeah, that was a good performance. I mean, that he obviously took full advantage of, I believe, the one and the two path looked to be the favorable place to be on Kentucky Derby Day, and it was a little kind of speed. And you know, Johnny V made a brilliant move down the backstretch to get on the he was on the inside of State of Honor, who was setting the pace, but he got to his outside, went in the clear. And it was a great pat, great move. I don't know about you guys, how much you've talked about it, whether or not it, I didn't see many horses passing each other, with the exception of Looking at Lee, who ran a fabulous race, closing from behind. He too closed down that one and two path. So it's going to be interesting from a handicapping standpoint, whether or not there were some significant biases on Derby Day. Remain to be seen.
Well, he's such a good horse, Always Dreaming. Oh. We saw him win the Florida Derby, and he's got a lot of talent. He might have gotten a little help from the bias, but he really ran away from those horses, just like he did in the Florida Derby.
I totally agree.
It will be interesting to see, if it was bias aided but in the Preakness, but it looks like he's going to get another great trip regardless of post or whatever. I mean, he can be on the lead at any time if he wants it. So
you're exactly right, Jude. In fact, don't mistake my pointing out a possible bias to taking something away from the horse. He put himself in that position, and I feel like I'm kicking myself all week. I was on McCracken, and I used Always Dreaming underneath, but I was telling anybody who would listen in radio and TV interviews throughout the week that Always Dreaming's workout the week before the Derby was the first workout I had seen at Churchill Downs that reminded me of the breezes that American Pharoah put forth. I mean, that breeze of 1 week out was incredible. He went around there. I questioned whether his ability to rate, with 170,000 fans. He answered my question.
Yeah, rate. You and I were on the same page. I was on McCracken. I was worried about the way he was training. I mean, he was literally running off 2 weeks before the Derby, and then Todd made the changes of rider and draw reins and all that. And when Johnny worked them, and I think that's the work you're talking about, he actually ran off with Johnny, but just a little bit, like maybe a 16th of a mile at the most. And then he settled in with Johnny's great hands. And, he scared me all week long. I didn't know what to do with him. Do I like him or do I hate him, And
that's exactly where I was.
Yeah.
I mean, and was it a question of whether or not he was rank or a little too keen? Or was it just a case, you've often heard these horses that spend the wintertime down in South Florida or other parts of the country where it's a little warm, they get to the cool Kentucky air and they start feeling good. He might have been just showing signs, that keenness and throwing his head around in the morning, which was unusual for him, might have been a sign of he's just feeling great.
Right, and with the time off between races and stuff, he was probably, in retrospect, I mean, we all know now he was ready to explode.
we can redboard it pretty clear now, can't we?
Yeah, and it's perfectly clear that running off 2 miles every day probably got him super fit. So, when you look back, of course, the races are always so clear after their run. But, he was very impressive. And now you watch him, he's kind of gotten into a relaxed mode. That drone video that they showed yesterday was outstanding, the way that he trained at Pimlico. So I think we might actually have a shot at another Triple Crown here.
We could. He's got the right running style. I like those forwardly placed horses. They seem to be able to be push button, do what you want when asked, and yeah, he's got a heck of a shot. He's got a heck of a shot. He's got the only shot this year.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here we go. We're worried about him going a mile and a quarter. Now we're talking about him winning going a mile and a half. So horse players are a fickle bunch, that's for sure.
Darren Rogers, Director of Communications, Churchill Downs, with us here on the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren, were you surprised to see Always Dreaming bet down to the favorites role on Derby Day?
I really was. In fact, I had questioned you know, I believe Mike Battaglia had set Classic Empire at odds of 4-1, and I thought he was on the right favorite. I thought his odds were too low. I really envisioned a 6-1 favorite of, you know, challenging that 2010 record by looking at Lucky, where he was sent off at post of $6.60 to 1 as the favorite, because there were so many talented horses that I thought would take action, you know, from Irish War Cry to Always Dreaming to McCracken, then, of course, Classic Empire. I really thought that money would be spread around more and fans would have a difficulty in choosing a favorite. But Always Dreaming, they were spot on.
Which other horses, we touched on looking at Lee and, of course, talking about Always Dreaming the winner, but which other horses stood out to you with their performance on Saturday, Darren?
Classic Empire was the other one. You know, and again, it's going off of my assumption that the inside was the best place to be. He put himself in a position on the final turn for home, and just looked like he was spinning his wheels a little bit, couldn't cut into the ground. And I think, you know, with this being his third race now off the layoff coming up in the Preakness, I expect him to fully move forward. You know, that first, you know, that coming out of the starting gate was rough on some horses. Right around the 3/8 pole, there was some action on going into the turn for home. I think there are some trips that could be excused, but really, the three that stand out to me are obviously the winner's performance and Always Dreaming. Looking at Lee making up, I thought, really the only significant ground within the race, and then Classic Empire in the middle of the track. I thought I expect him to move forward.
Well, he's probably going to be the second choice, huh? You would think.
He has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I've got Always Dreaming like 4-5 and him at 5-1 for the Preakness, but I, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and I don't think I'm pointing out anything that other horse players didn't see. You know, I mean, I'll ask that question back to you guys. Is there somebody else within the race that I'm leaving out that might have put in a better performance than looked? I just didn't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we're going to have Steve Asmussen on in a little bit. He's going to give Hintz another chance, but I don't know. I mean, I guess he has confidence in the horse, and we got to trust him.
How about this? Hintz was sent off at 15-1 in the Derby, took all the money in terms of the Asmussen horses, and then looking at Lee, sent off at odds of 33-1. So the bettors thought that Hintz was the better play last Saturday.
Right, and evidently
Steve
must feel the same way.
Whatever that's good for.
I'd be remiss if I didn't point this out on your show within your, you know, your listening audience. How about the performance by Greg Blasi, our outrider?
Tremendous.
At the start of the Kentucky Derby when Thunder Snow was bucking. You know, that was odd. The only thing I can think of, you know, it sounds as if the Godolphin camp was a little baffled as to what happened. You know, the horse obviously raced on grass in Europe. And then, you know, spent the winter in Dubai, and I doubt the horse had ever seen a sloppy racetrack before. And I was describing it to somebody. I said, imagine, you know, if we're walking around in a muddy, you know, let's just say we're walking around the infield on Derby Day. You know, there's a few of us, and I'd say all three of us are the types of guys that would just walk through the mud puddle and not care.
Yep.
Splashing everywhere. We're not worried. And then there are others that kind of tiptoe looking for the driest spot. And they're kind of dainty a little bit. And I think that might have been what Thunder Snow was doing. But for Christophe Semillon to stay on the horse during that bucking bronco deal, and for Greg Blasi to catch the horse, which wasn't, you know, he'll admit that wasn't too difficult to go get him, but for him to put him into the paddock runway, clear out the paddock runway, and then get back out on the racetrack, that easily, if some incident would have occurred with Thunder Snow, think about this. That could have been a no contest real easily and on Derby Day.
Yeah.
So anyway, Greg Blasi, hats off to him for his horsemanship. He and Lee Lockwood do a tremendous job as outriders at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, one of the best in the business. There's no doubt about it. And he's done that for a very long time. And you're right about Christophe Semillon staying on the horse. That was incredible. There's a photo that I saw on social media, Darren. You've probably seen it too, where it's a head-on of the start. And he's basically hanging off the left side of thundersnow. It's really incredible. It's a great shot. Whoever took it, congratulations to them, because that shot may be in consideration for an Eclipse Award this year.
Yeah, and, you know, probably 8 out of 10 times we see that type of, you know, an incident out of the gate over the course of, you know, at racetracks across North America. And it's so easy for the jockey to just kind of bail out and go off to the side. Sumilian, that was great horsemanship on his standpoint as well.
Yeah, he didn't want to get muddy. And when when Greg, I mean, you usually see 2-year-olds do that, the buck jumping and stuff. Like, what, if that happens during a race, it's usually a baby race where the horse doesn't have any experience or whatever. But when Greg came by the tunnel, I was standing like right up front in the tunnel, and Sean C, our producer, was with me, and everybody's like screaming, and here comes this horse, and he actually bumped into Sean, almost lost Sean for a minute, because Sean's not a horse guy, he's a radio guy.
Oh yeah.
So I kind of,
same thing happened to Durkin.
I kind of,
so Durkin was down there. Tom Durkin, he was a part owner of Always Dreaming through West Point Thoroughbreds, was watching the race from the tunnel. He too will admit he's not too fond of like, he loves horses, but he's scared of them.
Yeah,
and he was up against the wall down there.
Yeah, well, I put Sean in front of me, you know, to like protect him, and the horse swung his rear end and actually hit his rear end into Sean, and Sean was like, what just happened? Because I saw it coming. I saw Greg bring, you know, with the horse, and I saw him coming, and I just kind of shoved Sean towards the east part of the tunnel, and they went right by us. I mean, right by us.
It was a wild scene. You know, there's always something at the Derby that, you know, we'll take back memories, and that incident is one of them. I mean, that was a wild scene, and I'm glad it all worked out.
Darren Rogers with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren, just about 30 seconds left before we have to wrap it up, get to a break. Does Always Dreaming win the Middle Jewel next Saturday?
No. Classic Empire moves forward and gets revenge.
There you go. You heard it right here. Darren Rogers, nobody better to look back on the Derby, look ahead to the Preakness. Darren, we appreciate it, my friend. Thank you publicly for all you've done for us over the years, and certainly this year as well. Couldn't do it without you. We really do appreciate it, and keep things rolling. We'll see you over there for Stephen Foster.
Sounds great. Thanks again, everybody.
All right, Darren Rogers, Senior Director of Communications at Churchill here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, Steve Asmussen talks about his Preakness pair. We'll do that next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On Saturday afternoon, August 31st, 1955, at Washington Park in the suburbs of the Windy City, Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, two giants of the world of thoroughbred racing were about to square off in a rubber match, as it were. Each had defeated the other during the year, and the arguments amongst fans and horsemen alike had been raging all year long as to which one indeed was the best, Nashua or Swaps. Nashua, the son of Nasrullah, was racing in the colors of Belair Stud, was conditioned by the venerable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and had the crafty, wily, hard-nosed heady Eddie Arcaro in the saddle. Swaps, that year's Kentucky Derby winner, in which he whipped Nashua, by the way, was owned by Rex Ellsworth, trained by Mish Tenney, and had the services of Willie Shoemaker as his reinsman. The two stellar stalwarts were equally weighted, and the distance was 1¼ miles. The strategy was put forth in the paddock as follows. Fitzsimmons told Arcaro to, quote, keep the other horse busy all the way and let the best horse win, unquote. Tenney told Shoemaker, quote, save a little horse at all times and run when you have to, ride him as you always have, unquote. The track surface at Washington that day was on the slow side and drying out, and that, as it turned out, was most probably a key factor in the race itself. Nashua, breaking from post two, went away very quickly under solid urging from Arcaro and assumed an early lead. Swaps, breaking from post four, was hustled up by Shoemaker, who had none of Arcaro's attempted ploy, and they were both soon side by side. They were right together, with Nashua holding the slightest of leads as they went the first quarter in 23 flat, the half in 46 flat, and the first six panels in 1, 10, and 2. On down the backside and on into the turn, they remained exactly the same. Between the 3/8 pole and the quarter pole, smack in the middle of the turn, it appeared Swaps was ready to make his big move. As they came off the top of the turn to the straight, the wily Arquero took Nashua out off the rail just a little bit to find a more solid footing, and Shoemaker had a choice to make, to either drop down to the fence where the going was deep and tiring, or to go to the overland route. Schumacher opted to take his mount out and around, if indeed he could. Well, by this time, Nashua had opened a clear lead, and Swaps was a beaten horse. Nashua continued to increase his margin through the final 3/16ths to ultimately cross the wire, a 6.5-length winner in a final time of 2:04-1 in the deep going. The key to the race was, without any shadow of the doubt, the impeccable strategy of Arquero, who lived up to the fullest his reputation as a master reinsman and the affectionate moniker of Eddie Eddie. Every time Shoemaker had let Swaps put a notch on the backside and into the far turn, Arquero had responded in kind with Nashua, and that stratagem on the turn, when forcing Swaps out some, was the work of a true artist in the saddle. After the race, Shoemaker said he felt Swaps did not take a liking to the track condition and surface, and it was later learned that his right foreleg, on the foot of which he wore a protective leather pad between frog and shoe, had gone lame. Nevertheless, the score had been settled, the way it should have been, on the racetrack, against each other, August 31st, 1955, Washington Park in the Windy City. A great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hey, it's almost Mother's Day, and you know what? Your mom deserves more than a phone call or flowers or a card. Those are great. But a meal at Tony's Steaks and Seafood, where your mom will feel pampered, well, that's even better. They're open from 4 to 9 on Mother's Day. Go to TonySteaksandSeafood.com to make a reservation. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood, right at Triangle Park at 401 West Main Street. It's your mom. Come on. Make her feel great.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud. What do Catch a Glimpse, Beach Patrol, Bobby's Kitten, and Force the Pass all have in common? They're all Grade 1 winners, and they all ran in the now Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Join us Saturday, June 3rd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse for what promises to be another exciting renewal. First post for this special day of racing is 3:45 Eastern. Nominations for the Grade 2 Penn Mile and six other stakes close Wednesday, May 24th. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate or for more information.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at two, went wire to wire to win the grade three Sham Stakes at three, and was a runaway winner of the grade two San Fernando and grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at four.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Calvin Burrell and Rachel Alexandra given a bit of a cue, opening up with a quarter to go at Pimlico. Big drama trying to hold on down to second there. Papa Clem is in between horses. Frisian Fire on the far outside laboring along with just about a furlong left to go. Rachel Alexander, she's got a three-length lead. Here comes Musket Man. Musket Man charging and Mind That Bird on the far outside. The Derby winner, Mind That Bird, closing the late gap. But it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness. Mind That Bird was second. Musket Man was third. Followed in fourth position there by a Flying Private.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Dave Rodman with the call of that 2009 Preakness Stakes. And Rachel Alexandra, she was simply brilliant. She was brilliant in the Kentucky Oaks 2 weeks earlier, came back and beat the boys in the Preakness. It was win number two in the race for Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, who joins us now here on HRRN. Steve, welcome, my friend.
Very glad to be here.
Yeah, fun trip down memory lane, thinking back on Rachel and, of course, Curlin a couple of years prior. What is it about the Preakness that just seems to fit Steve Asmussen?
Well, in those instances, it was obviously Curlin and Rachel Alexander.
Hey, you didn't screw it up, so.
Yes.
Well, this year you come into it with a couple of horses. You have Looking at Lee, runner-up last week behind Always Dreaming, and you have Hence, who was actually, according to the betting public, the more highly regarded of the two, sent off at 15-1 as opposed to 33-1 for Looking at Lee. Look back on the Derby for a minute. Take us through the race and your thoughts on the performance of Looking at Lee.
Well, obviously, I was very proud of his effort. I thought Corey gave him a beautiful trip. And Looking at Lee having the mental makeup to take that sort of a trip in the Derby from the one hole under those conditions. Obviously very proud of both of them and love how he came out of the race and looking forward to trying again.
You were pretty adamant about running Hence back in this race. What did you see in the Derby that makes you think Hence has a big shot at the Preakness?
He's obviously got a lot of talent, being a horse that's run fast previously. He's a very sound horse, and watching the Derby, when they went under the wire the first time, he just from all the kickback, he was not in a rhythm, just jumping up and down and came back like he hadn't run hard, and I obviously believe that, and I think that he's capable of better. Sloppy conditions and 20 runners are, you know, impossible to simulate or recreate.
Steve, there's only one trainer in the history of the sport who has saddled more winners than you. Of course, that's Dale Baird. You've now been second twice in the Kentucky Derby. You've been third a couple of times, including last year with Gunrunner. What is it about this particular race that makes it so difficult to win?
I'm not exactly sure other than how much it means. It's obviously, I believe that it's the pinnacle of our sport, and one that is definitely missing from my resume, but it definitely gives us something to reach for and look forward to doing.
Yeah, and your horses always run so well when you do show up in the Derby. I mentioned all those close calls. What's the key to getting your horses ready to peak on that first Saturday in the May in the way you've been able to?
Well, I think we're getting better at it. I definitely early on, we might have been a little done when we got there. But I think you see what Gunrunner and Creator did after the Derby last year. I think we're looking for similar results with the three we ran in the Derby this year, that we're just part of the process and that they're getting better and they'll have productive second halves of the year.
What's it like to have three horses in the Kentucky Derby and try to keep track of them all? I think a lot of fans would be interested in that.
Me and Scott were talking about that the other day, how smooth it went this year. And all three of the horses are, you know, very good physicals. They acted well. They trained really nice. So we weren't no added pressure there. But I think the biggest key to this year was the ownership and ownership groups of these horses and just how much class they showed and how happy they were to be a part of a great event. And they made it all go smoothly for the barn and the horses.
Talking with trainer Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, put us in the mind of a Hall of Fame horse trainer. When you're looking at making the decision to run in the next leg, 2 weeks later in the Preakness, what are some of the factors that go into deciding if indeed you're going to run, and when does that process start?
I think immediately, you know, your initial reaction to how tired they are from the effort when they come back to you, you know, watching them cool out, just the way that they took the race, and then you will, out of curiosity and interest, you'll watch the replay multiple times for your own horses as well as others. Just it is the Kentucky Derby, you know, just to see what happened where and everything, and then how they eat that night, how you feel about them the next morning, what their energy level's like. And this year's Derby and the process and these three horses, we're very blessed to be a part of them, and I can't say how good a shape they came out of it. I think, you know, Glenn and the racetrack crew at Churchill deserve a lot of credit for their handling of the weather. And as all reports indicate, you know, definitely my three, the condition these horses came out of that, the Churchill Downs racetrack and the crew deserve a lot of credit for the shape they kept it in under the weather.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It was a phenomenal job because the weather was bad all week long, and they had such a task. But they worked tirelessly, those guys. They're on the track all day and all night sometimes trying to make it as good as possible. And they certainly had it in fantastic condition for the Derby.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that you've heard all the reports. I've seen most of the horses that ran in the Derby go back. And it's a true credit to the track team there at Churchill Downs.
Steve, Darren Rogers joined us in the previous segment, and he talked about the fact that there may have been, throughout the day, an inside speed favoring bias on that racetrack. And that's why he was so impressed with looking at Lee and the move that he was able to make, gaining ground from off the pace the way he did. How about in your opinion? Was there any kind of bias that you noticed throughout the afternoon?
Yeah, the fast horses were really effective. funny how that works in a horse race.
Maybe the greatest answer I've ever received to that question, by the way.
Corey Lannery was the right rider for looking at Lee in the Derby at Churchill Downs. And that is combination of everything. What I know about Corey, what I know about looking at Lee, and what I know about Churchill Downs. It came together. They gave it a great try. You know, hats off to the winner. Going to Pimlico, Lee's going to show up. He's going to run his race, and 2 weeks back is not going to bother him.
Yeah, that's good to know. One thing that I really liked about his race and how you handled it all, when you drew the rail, you know, everybody was hanging the crepe, oh, poor looking at Lee, drew the rail and all that. And you said, you know, this is a perfect post position for this horse because – he's going to be able to get out, get a nice trip. Corey Lannery's going to ride him just perfectly. And it all came true. I mean, people make a lot of the post positions, but you weren't the least bit fazed when you drew the inside post.
It wouldn't have been my first choice, but if it's meant to be, it's going to be. And Corey was going to be on the rail. By the 3/16th pole, he was going to be on the rail behind him, whether he'd have been the one or the 20. And, you know, look at – got a lot of confidence in both, that they're not going to hesitate. They're going to make the most of their opportunity, and they're going to do all they can do. And I think that's exactly what happened. You don't know to complain about a post position until after a race is run. You stand there at the draw and you see who's where, but you know, when you're at the draw, you don't know Irish War Cry's taking a left. You don't know that they're slamming in the yard. You know, where do you want to be? You'll know afterwards.
Yeah, well said. And I've said that about this 3-year-old division too. I did several interviews with radio stations around the country leading up to the Derby, and one question that everybody seemed to ask was, how good is this 3-year-old crop, and where does it rank in terms of comparing it to other ones that we've seen in recent years? And Steve, I've often said that you can't make a decision on this year's 3-year-old division until they start facing older horses later in the year. You know, you talked about your horses last year and what they did later in the season. That, to me, is the indication of how good a crop will be.
All right. I think with all horses, how good the horse is. They got to have a, you know, the whole career. You have to have the whole body of work in front of you to judge it. You know, it's just, where are you now? And right now we're in good shape, but we need to continuously get better to get done what we want.
Okay, in terms of the Preakness, and obviously a bit shorter distance than what we saw in the mile and a quarter last week in Louisville, what else makes the Preakness different than the Kentucky Derby? What makes it a different type of race, Steve?
A lot of it is, you know, how you're treated at the Preakness. I mean, it's lighter. And maybe it is everything in comparison to the Derby is lighter from a pressure standpoint. It's a good time, and they entertain the owners well, you know, and everybody's happy to still be in it. And obviously feel good about themselves going, you know, if you're 2 weeks after the Derby and you're still feeling good about yourself to run, you're usually in a pretty good mood.
Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, when are the horses heading northward to Baltimore?
They're going to breeze Monday morning, and then we will fly to Baltimore on Tuesday.
All right. Well, we want to wish you all the best in Baltimore. We'll look forward to seeing you there at Pimlico. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. We'll hand deliver that to you when we see you up there at the Stakes Barn.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Safe travels, and thanks so much for being here.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Steve Asmussen here on HRRN, and again, Hall of Fame trainer. He is looking for his third victory in the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown, and if he can do it, he will, of course, deny the racing world an opportunity for a Triple Crown winner here in 2017.
Yeah, and he'd be really sad about that.
He would be very disappointed, I'm sure.
It's not a mystery why he's won more races than any man alive. And with that attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, his attitude about racing is the way everybody should be, you know, just take it in stride. Where's your horse at today? You know, no worries. Just look ahead, do your job. This is why he's successful.
Yeah, just tremendous.
Amazing guy.
All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Tom Durkin, one of the owners involved with West Point Thoroughbreds, and they were part owner of Always Dreaming last Saturday. You're going to hear his experience at the Derby. That comes up next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Racing fans, spring has sprung, so come on out to Santa Anita and watch those racehorses run. Our main event today is for 3-year-olds, the Grade 3 Lazaro Barrera Stakes at 7 furlongs. And you want to be sure to make your reservations now for the middle jewel in Racing Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes from Baltimore, Maryland, next Saturday, May 20th. First post time is at 1 o'clock, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Pena, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, it's all presented by FarmPaint.com for the month of May. Well, the month of May brings us two of the three Triple Crown races. We've been looking back on the Derby, trying to look ahead to the Preakness. We're going to do it more in hour number two with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds, Elliot Walden, who is the president and CEO of Windstar. They, of course, Stan Bodemeister, the sire of Always Dreaming. And we'll do it with the big A, Anthony Stabile, and he'll talk about the big race program on tap for you later today in New York at Belmont Park, including the Peter Pan, which is a prep for the Belmont Stakes. Well, Tom Durkin, legendary race caller who is now retired, has been involved with West Point Thoroughbreds for a couple of years, and he was involved in part with Always Dreaming, and he joined Anthony Stabile on our Express Bet radio program earlier this week, and here's what he had to say about his Derby experience.
I got to tell you what happened to me. So I was in the, I had a blister on my foot. and I couldn't do the walkover because you got to walk over there and then you got to walk over back. And it was just, you know, I didn't want to be lame for the rest of the week. So I went to the paddock and then I watched the race from the tunnel. for, you know, from the paddock to, that goes to the gap that goes leads to the track. And so, you know, they're off and blah, blah. And I, you know, I see the horses run in front of me under the line the first time. And then all of a sudden, there's a screaming and yelling and this commotion. And they open up the gap, and in comes the outrider with Thundersnow in tow. And the horse is, he's literally a wild horse. He's crazed, you know, and you saw him on the track, and you could imagine yeah. what it was like for him. And so he pretty much had me pinned up against the wall in the tunnel, and he was about to wheel around. And I know you're not supposed to get behind a horse, especially one that's in that kind of condition. And so I just had to push him away from me so that he wouldn't kick me. And I missed about the whole clubhouse turn. I didn't want to get, you know, kicked in the groin by a horse.
I don't think you want to get kicked in the groin by anybody, let alone a horse.
No, let alone, yeah. So that was pretty crazy, yeah. So I watched the race from there, and then you know, they're on the backstretch, and I looked up at the board. It says, just by custom, you know, and to pick up the half-mile time, and I saw 46-2. And one of the NBC assistants was there next to me. And I said, well, he's going too fast. And that's it, because I know I always had in my mind that 46-3 was kind of like a cutoff line in the Derby for if you went faster than 46-3, you weren't going to be there at the end. But he was.
Tom Durkin, with his recollection of what it was like to watch the Kentucky Derby. You know, I think we often think it's Millionaire's Row, it's the mansion, it's the clubhouse boxes. Well, here's Tom in the paddock, then walks out through the tunnel, nearly gets killed by Thundersnow, and it sounds like he wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
And this is how he experienced winning the Kentucky Derby for the first time. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was quite a scene there in the tunnel when it all happened. And a lot of people didn't even know that the horse was coming. A lot of people didn't see what happened at the start. To be perfectly honest, I don't know how I saw it, because I'm not as tall as some of the people that were around me.
Right.
But I was, you know, really focused, and I saw that horse just leaping in the air. And then when I saw him coming, I just said, oh, this is not going to be good. And they opened the chute, and he came flying down with the outrider. And that's when I kind of pushed Chauncey up against the wall. But we were like right there. I didn't notice Tom. I didn't notice that he was there.
Yeah.
But we were in such a prominent spot that the horse just, I mean, he didn't touch me, but he brushed Chauncey as he went by.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't think that winning the Kentucky Derby is an emotional experience, my wife, Michelle, told me she saw Tom walking across the dirt to go meet Always Dreaming after the race, and he was in tears. And that's, you know, the emotion that you experience just kind of hits you when you finally, he never thought that he would win the Kentucky Derby. It never even crossed his mind that he would own a Kentucky Derby winner, but he gets involved with Terry and West Point, and all of a sudden they're partners in this horse with Brooklyn Boys and MEB Racing and everybody else. And next thing you know, bam, they're in the winner's circle on the first Saturday in May.
I have never in my life, and I've been to the races a lot, seen a winner's circle like that. There had to be 1,000 people in the winner's circle or on the turf course.
Yeah, multiple, I mean,
multiple partnerships involved, with right? all of their friends, and it was insane. It was absolutely crazy down there.
All right, when we return, we're going to kick off hour two with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds. We'll get his thoughts on what it was like for him watching the Kentucky Derby, and finally, after all of these years of owning racehorses, experiencing the thrill of winning the Run for the Roses. We'll do that when we come back. But first, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Malagasy has the lead. Untrap going to try to gun him down on the wire. It's these two. Petrov is third. Malagasy, Untrap. It is Malagasy to win the Rebel.
Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. IREP with the lead. Practical Joe giving all he's got. IREP. 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Royal Mowen, Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead. And Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez. And he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second. An impressive edge. Canavera too little, too late. But inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher. And Always Dreaming, they won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld. We are in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, just days away from the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. As a matter of fact, 6 days, 22 hours, 54 minutes, and 15 seconds away from the run for the Black Eyed Susans, which also means, in case you're wondering, and maybe Terry Finley is wondering, we are now 357 days, 9 hours, 44 minutes, and 3 seconds away from the 2018 run for the Roses, and maybe he can come back and defend his title as a Derby-winning owner, and that has a nice ring to it. Terry, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Hey, Jude. Mike, really great to be on board, and to talk about the Preakness.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's talk about the Kentucky Derby because, you know, you and I have been friends for a while now, and to actually be able to talk to you and say you are the owner, part owner of a Kentucky Derby winner, that has a wonderful ring, my friend, and congratulations.
Well, I tell you, Mike, thank you very much. You know, you don't have a lot to say, right, because you are either going to say too much or you're going to say something dumb. You know, trying to explain it. I think everybody who's in the business, I think they have a good sense of you know, just how hard it is. And when you finally get there, it's overwhelming. And it's, you know, really good stuff. And it's a special part of our business. And it's, you know, why we all love the racing industry the way we all do.
We just heard a clip from Tom Durkin talking about his experience and watching the race and watching it from the tunnel where Thundersnow was taken right after the start of the race. What's the matter? You can't get your partners a seat in the clubhouse?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, he wanted to go in the paddock, and we didn't even go in the paddock because, you know, we figured we'd stake out our position. But I think he'll do a better job next time anticipating – you know, a horse that comes off the racetrack after he can't go full eighth of a mile. But I obviously that was just a weird circumstance. I mean, everything just, you know, fell in. But, you know, it gets to be dangerous. You know, there's no doubt. We're dealing with 20 horses and a lot of people in and amongst, you know, the area on the ground floor. So I'm certainly glad he didn't get hurt and he was able to participate and to celebrate with us right after the race, that's for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned the danger of it all, and after the race it got a little dangerous. I was there standing next to you. You have tears rolling down your cheeks, and you're gonna actually come on the air with me, and some guy came flying out of the tunnel and jumped on top of you, and I actually thought you might go down in the mud. I mean, I was appalled. I go, what is this guy doing? Right? And you were it's a good thing that you're fit and strong because you did not go down in the mud. But this guy just, I don't know who it was. You might remember, you might not. I think everybody down there was like just going crazy. And It was amazing to me. It was a tribute to your fitness that you stayed on your feet, and I'm sure your shoes are really ugly, but the rest, your suit and everything remained intact. It was such a crazy moment. You had so many people down there just all over you. It was unbelievable.
You had to call in all that Army Ranger training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I tell you, that training it never leaves you, and you're very appreciative of all the training that you get in the military. But as you know, anybody that's been in the military knows. But yeah, if I said to somebody, Jude, if there was ever a time in your life where if you could, you could get time to stop and to just freeze, you know, just like the commercials that we see now, just to get it to freeze for, you know, like 10 minutes, because that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about, this is so glorious and it's so over the top, but it's going to come to an end. And unfortunately it did. You know, they said to us, everybody's got to get across the racetrack because we've got to run the next race, you know, whatever it was after 30 minutes. So it's a blur. And I think the vast majority of us, when we're in the horse business, we think about what would it feel like to be on the winner stand in the enclosure after the Kentucky Derby. So I can tell you, it's better than any of us even thinks it is. It's better, and it will. It's an indelible memory in my mind, and for a lot of other people, and it's. You just know that you're very blessed, and it's a humbling thing to be up there. It truly is.
Terry, put me in the seat with you at Churchill Downs and take me through the stretch run and watching Always Dreaming pull away.
Yeah, Mike, I think I was probably like a lot of other people when they went by us the first time. In my mind, I'm thinking, all right, now, everybody was talking about how keen he was in the morning and how fired up he was. So I was a little bit more comfortable coming over on the walkover and in the paddock when I saw him really hold his composure. And so I just felt so much better. And then when they broke and he was second and he was just very, very gathered and very smooth. And I could tell that he had come back to Johnny V really nicely. It didn't take him an eighth of a mile to come back to John. And I just said, we're in a great spot. So that's a nice thing, you know, when you can enjoy the next like 5/8 of a mile of a Kentucky Derby, when you know that you're in as good a shape as you could be. And so when they turned for home, I was like, okay, now he's got to answer the question. And if he does, you know, we're deserving of getting to the winner's circle. And if he doesn't, we'll have no excuses. So that in and of itself, I thought, was very reassuring. And it was just a good spot to be in because you knew that you wouldn't be in a situation where you could look back and say anything but we just got outrun. But he turned for home. He changed leads like he does, you know, so beautifully. And he just showed his class and his brilliance, and it was a glorious, you know, last 24 seconds. It really was.
He did a very much similar run in the Florida Derby. I think he went the last 3/8 and 36 and change. He's got a devastating turn of foot. Talk about a horse with speed that has a turn of foot like that.
It's good to be on the ownership papers. It's good to be on the ownership, because like it, our business, like the vast, it's like a bell curve, right, Jude? And the vast majority of horses have some talent, but they have a flaw. They're either they can't stay sound, or they're just not, you know, they don't have the courage. Or, you know, one of the big things is they just don't have another gear. They don't have the turn of foot. And when they're competing against other horses that have a little bit more of a turn of foot, it oftentimes is the decision maker. And so now, you know, they just don't come along very much where he has the ability, he has the brilliance, he's got the pedigree, he's got the mind, and he's got the turn of foot. And so when you put all those things together, you're like, wow, you know, now I know why they don't come along very often. And it really is. We're just so lucky to have him in our midst. We give thanks a lot. I know I do. I just say, man, this is wonderful to be associated with a horse like this.
Visiting with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds, part owner in Derby winner Always Dreaming, along with Anthony Bonomo and Brooklyn Boys, and of course Vinny and Teresa Viola. It is a large partnership conglomeration involved with Always Dreaming, and Terry very fortunate, as you can hear, to be part of that and to finally break through and win a Kentucky Derby. It was interesting, Terry, when we visited with Anthony Bonomo on the backside on our Derby Countdown program early in the week, he told the story of how the bidding went at the yearling sale with Always Dreaming, and his son was doing the bidding. The price kept getting higher and higher, got all the way to $350,000 back in 2015, and he said he wasn't too happy about it, but now all he could do was, you know, keep hugging Always Dreaming and probably hug his son. What do you think he said to his son after the race?
Well, I think I heard what he said. He said two words. He said, thank you. he said thank you, and then I think he came back with, you're the best. And let's face it, I had my son there, I had my daughter, my wife, and the Violas and the Bonomos and the Manganeros, by the way. You had Sienna Farm actually was the one that caused us to get into the horse, that allowed us to get in the horse. So we all had our families there, and so the Bonomos, like, it's unbelievable how compelling that is to see a father that has worked hard, who's come from nothing on the streets of Brooklyn, to be hugging his son in the winner's circle of the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's the emotion, and I'm welled up now just thinking about, you know, the Violas and the Manganeros and the Bonomos. Like, they couldn't be happier, and I'm happy, obviously, for my family. And I think it's something that our game offers that I don't see in any other sport in the whole world, is a chance to be at the very mountaintop with your family. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Well, Terry, we asked a poll question on our Twitter feed this morning, and so far the HRN Nation is weighing in and weighing in strongly. The poll question was, will we see another Triple Crown winner this year? And so far, it was either yes or no. So far, the no's are winning. The naysayers, 79% to 21% of those saying yes, we will. So let's go prove them wrong in the Middle Jewel next week, and let's head to Belmont Park and see if we can't get it done.
Yeah, I said also that with the Brooklyn connections of this horse, Mike, the population of Brooklyn that Saturday, if we're running for the Triple Crown, is probably going to go down probably in single digits, and the balance of the population is going to be in Elmont, New York, and at the Belmont Stakes. So it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, two guys who have. You live the American dream, and now you hopefully you'll get a chance to make a run at the Triple Crown. Like, you just can't make that up. You can't make it up, and it could be, if we run well enough to earn a Preakness Trophy, it could be the biggest day in New York history, and it's overwhelming to think we have a shot to play a small part in that.
Well, as Larry Colma said, the dream is still alive with Always Dreaming, who wins the Derby and then heads on to Baltimore next week. Terry, we appreciate it, my friend. We're going to look forward to seeing you when we get to Pimlico, and all the best and congratulations again. Well done.
Awesome, guys. Really great to catch up. And as I've said always, you guys do a superb job and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank
Terry
you.
Finley here on HRRN and somebody who is humbled. As a matter of fact, I sent Terry a text and congratulated him right after the race, and it took him, I think, 3 days before he responded to the text message, which is unlike Terry Finley, because usually he gets right back to me.
Well, he probably had like 500,000.
Yeah, I knew I was probably way down in terms of the number of texts that he had. But he did say, thank you, very humbling.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, it was cool to see how emotional he was after the race. You know, it touches people in different ways, but our sport is so great, and it's so hard, and to win that race is as good as it gets.
Yeah, we talked about that at the top of our broadcast on Saturday afternoon. You think about, and you know, as a former trainer and an owner of racehorses, Jude, how difficult it is just to get a horse to the starting gate, right? You buy him at the yearling sale, you buy him as a two-year-old in training, whatever it is, just to make it to the races. Huge accomplishment. People don't realize how difficult that is. To actually make it to the starting gate in the Kentucky Derby beneath those twin spires, just 20 horses out of a full crop of more than 23,000. Think about that. Not only do you have to make it to the races, you have to win all the preps, you have to get yourself there with points, then you have to stay healthy and get into the starting gate. It's one of the hardest things you can do in all the sports.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I only came close to it one time, and I had a horse that beat Cavaneer twice, and nobody cheered more for Cavaneer to win the Derby than I did, except maybe Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
But, you know, my horse stepped on a shoe that another horse had blown on the training track at Santa Anita and bruised his foot badly, and I had to stop on him.
I just didn't
have a choice.
The amount of things that can go wrong and
right.
The way you can get derailed on that road to the Kentucky Derby is far outweighs the things that can go right. And cause there's only one way to get there. You got to have, like you said, not a straw in your path for the most part. You can't have a hiccup. And just the sheer numbers of being one of 20 out of more than 23,000. It's incredible.
Yeah, and now you need points to get in.
Yeah, now you got to get the points.
So
you got to run well.
There's all kinds of obstacles. It's almost like Rolex,
right?
But you don't have to jump over any fences.
Yeah.
But it's very very tough. And when it happens for you, there can't possibly be any better feeling.
All right, we're going to get to a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Elliot Walden, who is the president and CEO of Windstar. We're going to talk to him about their exciting stallion, Bodemeister, sire of a Derby winner. That's right, always dreaming. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Undefeated in sprint competition, Eclipse champion Run Happy captured 3 Grade 1 victories and set blistering speed records at both Keeneland and Saratoga. In the Breeders' Cup Sprint, he dominated the world's fastest runners, going 6 furlongs in a record-breaking 108 and change. The only horse nominated for 3 Eclipse Awards, Run Happy was crowned champion male sprinter, all the while racing 100% drug-free. Champion, millionaire, record breaker, Run Happy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won 3 grade ones.
One from on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down to the finish. And Shackelford.
115 buyer speed figure.
But the one who's got the courage in spades is Shackelford. He's out in front. Shackelford wins the claw.
Shackelford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby!
Darley Stallion Nyquist remained undefeated in eight starts while winning the 2016 Kentucky Derby, becoming the first champion two-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since the great Triple Crown winner Seattle Slough, making Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, a Kentucky Derby winner who was voted Eclipse Champion at two when he won three Grade Ones, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and is only the second horse ever to take the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby, joining fellow Darley Stallion, Street Sense. To learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Bodie Meister has his mind on business today with a quarter of a mile to go. Secret Circle takes up the chase into second. Straightening away with an eighth of a mile to go. Here comes Secret Circle after Bodie Meister. Baffert is dominating. Cosetti is running a good one. Sabercat is finishing with interest. Coming to the 16th pole. And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp. What a star in the making as Bodie Meister crushes. He wins by nine.
Secret Circle holds second. Sabercat and Cosetti in a photo for third, and the next order of business for Bodie Meister is to go to Kentucky and make it up for Empire Maker.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, and Frank Miramati with the call of that Arkansas Derby. Bodie Meister, so brilliant that day. He would go on and finish second in the 2012 Run for the Roses. But his son, always dreaming, would get a little revenge for his sire this past Saturday when he romped home an easy winner. And the son of Bodie Meister, always dreaming, on his way to Pimlico next Saturday. You'll hear that exclusive coverage of the Middle Jewel with us on HRRN. Head on over to horseracingradio.net for a complete Preakness Week schedule. Well, Elliot Walden is the president and CEO and racing manager of Windstar. That is where Bodie Meister stands. And you think about what it takes to win the Kentucky Derby. Well, you might as well start by looking at breeding to a Windstar stallion, because a couple of years ago it was Pioneer of the Nile who sired eventual Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. And now here's Bodie Meister in his very first crop producing a Kentucky Derby winner. Elliot, first of all, congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mike. Yeah, that was very exciting.
Yeah, extremely exciting, I can imagine. What's the key? I mean, I talk about Pioneer of the Nile. I talk about Bodie Meister. Now, by far and away, the leading second crop sire with over $2.8 million in progeny earnings. What's the key?
Well, I think, you know, if you're going to really look at it objectively, Empire Maker and Unbridled, the Unbridled line of things has really had an impact on the distance, the Derby classics and classic distances. You know, it used to be AP Indy, and it still is AP Indy through a lot of its progeny. But it looks like that Bodie Meister and Pioneer of the Nile are two main influences as we go into the late decade here of 2017 to be a future impact on classics to come. And you got to give the credit where credit's due, Unbridled.
When did you first become attracted to Bodie Meister as a possible stallion for Windstar?
When I heard Frank Miramati get crazy about the Arkansas Derby.
That'll do it.
He's going to want a season now.
that was a pretty impressive race. And, you know, then you throw in the other two races right on top of that. You know, the Arkansas Derby's been a great prep for the Derby, but, boy, they're back-to-back-to-back. You when you think about 3 weeks and then 2 weeks, and to then come to Kentucky and run as fast as he did, 22:45.9, and hang on, almost win that, and then go to the Preakness and virtually almost do the same thing. Very courageous, has the speed, and that's what really pricked our ears to Bodie Meister.
Elliot, obviously there's a lot of big races in this sport, and I'm always curious, what does it mean to a stud farm to have a stallion that produces a winner of the Kentucky Derby? What does that mean?
Well, it means a lot. When you think about what's right in horse racing today, it's big days, it's dirt classic races. Turf influence is having a little bit of a momentum as we go forward, I think, with all the turf racing that we have in America now. But, when you look at last weekend being a very rainy, not the best day of weather, and they're up with Handel, I think, over 8 or 9%. The TV ratings were through the roof. People are interested in what happens in the Kentucky Derby. So, it is a very pivotal race for our sport, is therefore it's a pivotal race for progeny and for stallions. And, to have a first crop Derby winner is something that is very special. We had it with Distorted Humor and looked to see what kind of stallion he went on to be. And hopefully Bodie Meister can follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, when somebody buys a horse at a sale and they're telling their friends, oh, I just got a new horse, and he's by Bodie Meister, who just had the Kentucky Derby winner, there's a certain amount of, awe with your friends when that happens. And that's one of the things that our business feeds on, is the dream of getting to the Derby and running a horse in the Derby. So it gives people that hope, and it really puts the focus on your stallions and your farm.
Well, we're just blessed. I mean, we work hard just like everybody else, but you can't dictate those kind of things. All you can do is set the table, and that's what we try to do here. And, breed as many good mares as we can and give them the opportunity. And then it's up to the stallion.
Always Dreaming has now gone on to win more than $2.2 million with that victory in the Kentucky Derby, and looking to add to that total next week in Baltimore. He was bred by Santa Rosa Partners, and his dam, Above Perfection, is by In Excess. What was it about that mating that just seemed to make sense when you approved that mare, Elliot?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and tell you we said, oh, this is going to be a Derby winner. Because, quite honestly, Mike, in the first two or three crops, you think you have an idea going in, and we target certain lines of mares, but you don't really know. And so, quite honestly, you want a broad verse of diversity of mares so that you can then start to see a pattern. So we don't really get zeroing in on a certain pattern with these young horses, because we want a diversity so that then we can look back 4 years later and say, hey, this is working, this is working, this is not working. So there was nothing about that other than you get good partners, and Mike Ryan and Jerry Dilger are Santa Rosa Partners. And I'll tell you, we're just coming out with a commercial. Again, we got pretty lucky, but I think the fans and breeders alike are going to really like this commercial, because Jerry Dilger called me February 25th, and he said, I got a Bodie Meister colt that is out of this world, and we got it on tape, and we're just getting ready to roll that commercial out.
Wow.
With Jerry saying that, and it was Always Dreaming. So he knew from day one that he was special, and that's a good horseman, and that's what you do, is you try to surround yourself with good horsemen.
It's so important, the way the horses are raised and developed, and it takes a village, like they say, to get a horse to the Kentucky Derby. It's not just the trainer or a great trip or whatever. There's a lot of things that go into it before you even get there.
Absolutely. And so they were the ones that decided, hey, this is a good mating. for their mayor, and so it just worked out for us to be on that team with them. And Mike and Jerry do a great job. And you know, when they wanted to, Mike wanted to share, I said absolutely, because I have a very high respect for Mike Ryan and what they do. And again, just surrounding yourself with the right team.
Well, Always Dreaming wasn't the only horse in the Kentucky Derby that had ties to WinStar. One in particular, the third place finisher, Battle of Midway, who, Elliot, I thought ran a tremendous race. This was a horse that you bought into through WinStar with Don Alberto, and he just ran lights out in here. Talk about him for a minute.
Yeah, he's a really exciting prospect. We became familiar with him after the Santa Anita Derby, and we heard that he was for sale. Don Alberto has that good filly with Jerry Hollendorfer's Unique Bella, and Jerry had mentioned to Fernando Diaz that this colt was being offered for sale by Mr. Porter, and he really recommended it. And he recommended him to a client that he cares about. So that was important to me. Jerry is a great horseman in and of himself, and he really liked him. So we got on board, and the horse ran fantastic and only his fifth start. We're going to take a step back, try to win the Affirmed possibly, or the Dwyer at Belmont, and then really circle the Haskell as a race that we want to be on our best for.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm sporting my hat. You gave Phyllis, the bartender at Churchill Downs, some spare hats, and we were talking, and she found out that I knew you and that we shared a love of the Bengals, and she said, "Oh, Elliot left me some hats. Would you like one?" I said, "Sure." So I'm sporting it this morning because you were a guest.
That's good. Phyllis is great. Yeah, Phyllis
nice lady.
Is awesome.
I thought it was going to be Elliot to be the one to bring up the Cincinnati Bengals, but it had to be Jude.
we're on the same team.
I'm not going to go there with you this morning.
it's an upbeat show, right, Elliot?
That's right.
Well, Elliot, listen, we appreciate everything you do to support us here on the network. Can't do it without you, and want to wish you all the best. You know, congratulations on all your success, my friend, and go get it done in the middle jewel. Let's see if we can have another shot at a Triple Crown winner by a WinStar Stallion.
Be fun. Thank you, guys.
All right, he's Elliot Walden, WinStar Farm, here on HRRN. Think about that. I mean, that's just incredible, right? I mean, if let's just say he wins the Preakness, and he's going for the Triple Crown, and you think about what they did with Pioneer of the Nile and American Pharoah. Now, to be back in that same position, and who knows, maybe have an opportunity at a second Triple Crown winner in, what, the span of the last 3 years.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
By a stallion standing at the same farm.
Right.
What are the odds on that?
Well, if it's WinStar, it's probably pretty good. I mean, WinStar Farm is exceptional. It's a beautiful place, and their business is stallions and racing, and that's what they do, and they do a great job.
Yeah, they certainly do, and Elliot has it rolling. The entire team at WinStar has it rolling over there, and good luck in the Preakness next week. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we're going to focus on a big race program in New York today that includes the Peter Pan, a major prep race for the Belmont Stakes in early June. We'll talk to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and he'll fill you in on all those storylines, plus give you an update on the weather in New York, because that's supposed to play a factor too. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology.
Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
What do Catch a Glimpse, Beach Patrol, Bobby's Kitten, and Force the Pass all have in common? They're all Grade 1 winners, and they all ran in the now Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Join us Saturday, June 3rd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse for what promises to be another exciting renewal. First post for this special day of racing is 3:45 Eastern. Nominations for the Grade 2 Penn Mile and six other stakes close Wednesday, May 24th. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate or for more information. Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, boasting five Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first four dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop two-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Make their way toward the top of the stretch, and it is Divine Dental still trying to cling to the lead, but Timeline is moving up alongside. And they're into the stretch, three quarters, 1/12 flat, and Timeline has taken over. Timeline moves away to a five-length lead with a furlong to run. And then Mr. Dougie Fresh on the outside, followed by Divine Dental, Everybody Loves Rudy, Win with Pride, and Thirst for Victory, all behind a very impressive colt here. Timeline strong again by 10 today. Mr. Dougie Fresh, Thirst for Victory, and Divine Dental.
Larry Colmus with the call of that allowance victory by Timeline at Aqueduct back on April 6th. Loved the slop that afternoon. 1 mile and 13 lengths in front of the rest of the field under Javier Castellano. They team up again this afternoon in the Grade 3 Peter Pan, which is going to go as race number four on a really good program at Belmont Park. Of course, the Peter Pan, the major local prep race for the Belmont Stakes, which is a race you will hear right here with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Make sure you visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete broadcast schedule and listing of affiliates and SiriusXM channel information. JT, when you look at Timeline and that performance last time out, he was very, very impressive, but only a field of six today. Maybe he's scaring horses away. Maybe they just couldn't, you know, get the horses there considering everybody running in the Kentucky Derby. It's going to go as race number four on the program today. And to tell us more about that, we are joined from New York by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who you can catch every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern on our Express Bet radio program, which airs on Sirius 219, XM 206, and, of course, worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Big A, good morning.
Good morning, gents. What's happening?
Well, you tell me.
It's raining.
not unexpected. We've been getting the, and I guess this has been happening for thousands of years, but we've been getting the Kentucky weather up here. I notice it a lot more lately. Whatever happens by you guys on Wednesday, we get Thursday and so on. So I don't know. I'm a little bit of a weather nerd, but I guess the jet stream is just pushing everything northeast now. This storm actually headed east and then hooked up, hooked the left up the coast. So we got some rain. They've taken all the other turf races off the turf at Belmont today. Just the two stakes are on, and then they flip-flop the courses. So some changes to the stakes card. We got a couple of scratches. Grand Motion scratched both Miss Temple City, and she's in the boat. She was in the Bogue, and good old Twilight Eclipse from the Man of War. So, I mean, by the time they run, we're still about 4 hours from post. But this rain's not letting up. I can't imagine we're not going to be muddy or sloppy by the time they spring the latch for the opener.
That's a couple of big scratches, too, when you talk about those two names.
Yeah, and I don't think they're too surprising. Jude and I were talking about it last night on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts that, you know, the Miss Temple City coming back off the layoff on a soft course, of course, with some give in the ground, isn't something the Connections wanted to do. Looks like she'll just train into Royal Ascot now. And Twilight Eclipse, you know, the old boy, he never really had an affinity for a course with giving it. And at the ripe old age of 8 now, you know, you're certainly going to protect him as best you can. So he'll live to, I'm sure he'll live to, live to fight another day. They don't miss too many dances with the old boy. So he ran 8 times last year as a 7-year-old. And there's plenty of races. They don't even have to ship him. There's plenty of races here in the Northeast that he can run in over the course of the next 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's still very consistent. He runs hard every time, and just need to get the right spot for him.
Well, supposing, yeah, Big A, that he, you know, of course, with him being out, supposing the rest of the field stays intact the way we're hoping it does, who's the horse to beat? Would it be Wake Forest, who's on the morning line at 5-2?
Yeah, you know, the defending champion here, Wake Forest, came from off the pace, well off the pace last year, to get his lone Grade 1 win last season here in the Man of War. He started the year with a win in the Macdemeter down at Gulfstream Park on Fountain of Youth Day. That was a wide-open race that day. He came with another late surge. Yeah, I mean, I would think – I'm a big Saddler's Joy fan, Mike. I've been waiting for this horse to take the step up to the big time. Tommy Albertrani ran him in the McKnight to start the year. He got beat up a filthy head coming from a guy that needed him for a lot of money at 8.5-1. and then he got the money in the Pan American last time out. Now he gets his real unveiling. First Grade 1 for him. He's a horse, too, that's a little sneaky because he's run twice with some give in the turf. And they might not be his fastest races on paper, but you could argue they've been two of his more impressive efforts. He really seemed to enjoy some give in the ground. You know, that Dynaformer, especially on the bottom half of the pedigree, they don't mind a little wet turf. And he proved that back in the summer of last year. He won at Saratoga and over the course at Belmont. So that's key, you know, especially when a course has given the ground. He's won over this course with some moisture in it. I think that gives him a little bit of an edge over maybe a few of the others in here.
That's talking about the Grade 1 Man of War. Saddler's Joy breaking from the inside post, number 1, 3-1 on the morning line with jockey Julian Leperu. Big A, how about the other turf race? You mentioned the two stakes staying on the turf. The Bogue, which is going to be run as race number 6, Grade 3, mile in to 16th on the turf course. As you said, a softer turf course. Miss Temple City out. Who's the horse to beat in there now?
Boy, I'll tell you, this got a Grade 3 next to its name, but this is far from a Grade 3, right? Reina Batsaria, a Grade 2 winner, Time and Motion, a Grade 1 winner.
Yeah.
You got Hawksmoor, who was very good over in Europe last year. DeCita, a Grade 1 winner. Miss Temple City is a Grade 1 winner, even though she came out. I mean, this is a tough, tough race, a salty bunch. I think you got to look at Hawksmoor, especially now with the give in the ground. I know she didn't run that good in the Mrs. Revere down at Churchill last year to finish out her 3-year-old year, but I think anytime you see some Euro form, you have to give it another look. So I think you need to take a little bit of a look at Hawksmoor, even though she's a big price on the board. You got to look at DeCita, even though I'm a big believer that she's probably better on firmer ground. And then I went for a little bit of a price in there. I actually like On Leave a bit today for Shug McGahee. She's making her 4-year-old debut. She's won at Belmont with some give in the ground. She broke her maiden last year over a good course, 3-for-4 overall at Belmont. I like her as a little bit of an upset today. Another one who is, you know, taking a big step forward. She tried grade one in the QE2 Cup at Keeneland last year, right down the road from you guys, when Time and Motion won that race. But she's one I'm keeping an eye on today. I think she might be okay at a price. But I'll tell you what, despite the rain, we got a neat little card up here at Big Sandy today.
Yeah, it's the stakes races especially are very good, despite the scratches. Not going to really hurt them that much. So what are you thinking in the Ruffian?
You know, the Ruffian and the Ruffian's an interesting race because you got a horse in here in Bar of Gold who that 5-for-5 on a wet track just like jumps off the page and punches you right in the face. But being on the circuit all year round, she's only beaten New York Breds. She is undefeated against New York Breds, 5-for-5. She's 0-for-12 against Open Company in her career. Now, she's only got four rivals today, and she's obviously catching a track she loves. She's 2-for-4 at Belmont, and by function of being 5-for-5 on a wet track, they've both come over wet tracks at Belmont. You know, that New York Red thing really bothers me, Jude. And you got a couple of fillies in here. Another New York Red and Highway Star who's beaten her in the past, who likes a wet track, who's undefeated around one turn as well. She absolutely loves one turn. Her three losses came on the turf at Saratoga, going a mile and an eighth at Saratoga, and the ladies going a mile and 70 on the old inner dirt track here at Aqueduct. She merits consideration. Linda Rice's filly from the rail, the 5-year-old mare, High Ridge Road, is 2-for-2 on a wet track. But again, and you guys know this, the Baron and the Baroness sent me a fantastic frosted hat earlier this year, and his little sister, Indulgent, is in here. She should love a wet track, and she's getting to do what her big brother did best, and that's go a flat mile for the first time. So she's another one. I see him setting up shop, Robert T. Jr. sitting right off the speed, and we'll see how it goes from there. I can tell you this, before the rains came, there was a pronounced inside bias on this racetrack yesterday. It was very hard, that traditional and historic balcony move at Belmont. Quite a few runners tried it yesterday, and it looked like they were spinning their wheels from the quarter pole home. They were able to make up a little ground, but three or four occasions, the horse that was in front and inside just seemed to dig their heels in and not let anybody by. So I don't know if the rain has washed that away, but you may want to keep that in mind when you're handicapping that Belmont card today.
The Big A, Anthony Stabile, host of our weekday Express Bet radio program, which airs Wednesday through Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 206. He's with us now here on the Equine Forum. All right, Anthony, one more race to look at. That's the Peter Pan, and appropriate that we would save the three-year-olds as our final race that we would talk about here, considering the fact that we're going to start after next week to look ahead to the Belmont Stakes, and this is a major prep. 1 minute or less, take me through the Peter Pan.
Well, I think this race goes through timeline. We got to see how good this Chad Brown 3-year-old is. He was fantastic in his debut down at Gulfstream. He won going 7/8 first time out, which is always very impressive to me. And then he just crop dusted that bunch of allowance other than horses, optional claimers at Aqueduct in the slop, which is key because that's one little element I think we could take out of the guesswork today. He's going to like a wet track. The extra eighth of a mile should not be a problem. He's by heart spun out of an Empire Maker mare. I think he's going to take a lot of beating today.
All right, Big A, appreciate it, my friend. We'll remind people they can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview Show presented by Naira Betts, where you and Jude take the time to handicap all the races, the greatest stakes races around the country. And that podcast is posted now at horseracingradio.net. Appreciate it, my friend. Good luck today.
You got it. You guys, too. Talk to you soon.
All right, we're back with more here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Corrie Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at two, went wire to wire to win the grade three Sham Stakes at three, and was a runaway winner of the grade two San Fernando and grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at four.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the top of the stretch. Sweet Northern Saint Bernardini. Light now fades off the scene. Next is Brother Derek, who struggles along in the stretch of the 131st Preakness. And here comes Bernardini, and he's roaring and pouring it on. Bernardini and Javier Castellano goes to the left-handed stick, but he's well clear from Sweet Northern Saint and all the others. Hemingway's Key is moved into third. Bernardini in the Preakness to win Going Away by five. Sweet Northern Saint was second. Hemingway's Key, Brother Derek, followed by Greeley's Legacy and Platinum Couple, and Like Now and Diabolical.
Another great Preakness call from Dave Rodman, the voice of racing in Maryland. Bernardini winning the 2006 renewal of the race, and Bernardini ridden that afternoon by Javier Castellano. That's his lone win in the Preakness. Javier looking to do it next Saturday on Cloud Computing. Another horse, much like Bernardini, who skipped the Kentucky Derby, now runs in the Preakness. And by the way, we threw out a poll question here at the top of the show. Will we see another Triple Crown winner this year? And so many people have come to our Twitter feed at HRN to vote. So far, Jude, not even close. It's yes or no, and the no's are winning 77% to 23% right now. Most people thinking that Always Dreaming not going to be the one to keep the dream alive for all three Triple Crown races.
I'm really kind of surprised by that.
I'm surprised it's that big of a discrepancy.
Do you think they don't think he can go a mile and a half?
Maybe. Maybe they just no believers yet.
Yeah, I'd like to know the reasoning behind it.
He's done nothing wrong since Todd took over his training, right? He's undefeated this year with Todd Pletcher and has been winning by open lengths.
Mm-hmm.
The Preakness seems tailor-made for him with his running style. Why not?
Yeah, and the competition doesn't seem overly stiff.
No, I know you're a big fan of Royal Mo. You mentioned at the top of the show you think he might be the main danger next weekend. For me, it's classic Empire. I liked his race in the Kentucky Derby. Thought he ran huge considering all the trouble he had.
Yeah, no, he ran good, and he certainly has a chance. I mean, I will look at the past performances soon. I guess they were up. I just didn't know where they were. I looked at the Brisnet site many, many times and read the articles, and there was no link, but John Kosiak sent me a link, and then you sent me a link. So I will peruse and figure it out.
All right. Well, a quick reminder here that you can hear the 142nd Preakness Stakes exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage next Saturday. You'll hear this show live from Pimlico Saturday morning. Then we'll take you through all of the undercard action beginning right around 3 o'clock Eastern and then take you through the Preakness Stakes, that coverage going all the way until 7:30 Eastern. So head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and don't forget Wednesday, our coverage of the post position draw presented by the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, and all that schedule for you on our site, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Darren Rogers from Churchill, Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen in the first half of the show, Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds, Elliot Walden from Windstar, and the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Head over to our website and check out a podcast of this show if you missed any portion of it. Listen at your leisure. You can also do it at Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Off to Baltimore, my friend.
I can't wait. Ready to roll.
Crab cakes. Well, for you, anyways. Not for me. Bring on the chicken parm for me. For our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. with our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Till next week, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.